This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Tru Tran and some of his family came to the United States as refugees after the Vietnam War. Today, he's a professional actor who has played roles on the stage, in movies, and television. The journey in between is the subject of a one-man show called Uncle Ho to Uncle Sam. It looks back at the challenges Tran has overcome to explore and explores his relationships with his parents. The production is hosted by Playmakers Repertory Company. It runs through Sunday at the Elizabeth Price Keenan Center on campus at UNC Chapel Hill. Tru Tran joins me now in the studio. Thank you for being here. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Tell us a little bit, tell us some of the backstory. When did you come to the United States? What was happening in Vietnam at that time?
Well, Saigon fell in April 30th, 1975. I was born 10 days before the fall of Saigon. Mm-hmm. So the result of the fall of Saigon, a lot of Vietnamese had to escape Vietnam. So subsequently, my family was one of those families. So we left and we escaped Vietnam in 1981.
Not all of you. Your father was taken to a re-education camp, as they called them, right?
Yes. And my father left, and then my father eventually left before us. He escaped before us.
Mm. But that was pretty rough for him. I mean, we call them re-education camps. That's torture for people who were believed to have supported the U.S. during the war, right?
Absolutely.
And this is part of the play. So tell us a little more of the story. You got to the United States, but were in refugee camps, or at least one, before that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that experience.
Well, I don't want to give so much away. That's part of the
we'll hear that, and we'll say, what an amazing story. I've got to see more, and then they'll come and see you.
Yeah, it's we were at sea, and we were attacked by pirates. And eventually, we ended up in a refugee camp in Thailand. My family spent 9 months there.
Mm-hmm. And you had this view of freedom, and in the camp, I know that there's this aspiration. I mean, you certainly want to get out of the camp. You're headed to the United States. What was your sense of what you were going to when you were in Thailand?
I think even just the whole ordeal of us escaping, we were going to freedom. And for me at that age, you know, it was freedom meant complete happiness. It was going to be better than what we were experiencing. And I think at that time, in everybody's mind was, you know, the ideal place for freedom was the United States of America. And there was promises of happiness and freedom once we land here. The promises of two sets of keys, one for your brand new car and one for your brand new house.
Didn't work out that way.
I'm still waiting for those set of keys.
You were living in Boston, right?
Yes.
So tell us about the situation there. Your mom working a couple jobs. She was on public assistance, right?
Yeah. Well, first we ended up in Canada first. And then we eventually moved to Boston. So my mom was, she was a waitress and on public assistance. And, you know, she had to be mother and father, raising three kids on her own.
And this this play is about that journey that you took, but also about your relationship with your father, who you did eventually connect with. Tell us about that meeting.
My father. When I met my father, he was just a ghost of a person, you know. I think he had his own. You know, he was emasculated by his. He lost his country. You know, he came to this country alone. And he was pretty much emasculated by both country, and he was just a shell of a person when we met him.
Will you do a scene for us from your show?
Sure.
You want to set it up for us?
To start now?
Mm-hmm.
The teacher leads us to a group of men. They are tied to bamboo stakes, covered in dirt, blood oozing from cuts, skin burnt, like roasted duck. Mum reaches out to one of the men. He is gagged, hands tied behind his back, telephone wires hold him upright against his bamboo pole. They cut through his flesh. Mosquitoes hover over him in a huge swarm. The teacher rips off his gag. Your father does not respect Uncle Ho like you. He lies in his confessions. He loves the Americans. My father's eyes meet mine. He studies my face. Here before him is his only son. Tears begin to trickle down his blood-stained cheeks. I realize these are not teachers. These are the Viet Congs. I start to cry. My father's face grows fierce. His tears cease instantly. With a sudden narrowing of his eyes, he says without words, "This is not the time. This is not the time." I hold back my flood of tears and do nothing. Forgive me, Father. Someday I will be a warrior. I promise.
True Tran, an actor in a one-man play called Uncle Ho to Uncle Sam about his life. It started last night at Playmakers in Chapel Hill. It runs through this Sunday. Your relationship, tell us about your relationship with your father after that. It was not a good relationship.
It was not a good relationship at all. Mm-hmm.
But he'd been through a lot. I mean, the communists were torturing and did hurt and torture people who sympathized with the Americans. He had been through all of that. How much of that did you understand at the time that would have a profound impact on a man's behavior?
Well, I think that's for me, that's the blessing that I had in my collaboration with Robert Egan on this piece. Our journey with creating this piece, Uncle Ho and Uncle Sam, really gave me that understanding of my father, and seeing, understanding his journey and his suffering.
You mentioned Robert Egan. He's with us as well, who co-wrote the play, a close friend of True's, who collaborated on this and joins us now. Robert Egan, welcome to State of Things.
Thank you.
Tell us about this play, how it came about. First of all, how did you two meet, first of all?
And then I run a new play program in Ojai, California, called the Ojai Playwrights Conference, arguably the most successful new play development program in the country. And True came up there to act in a play, and we met then. Then I directed the play in New York, and True was still with the play at that time, and we would meet in breaks, both from L.A., and lovers of sports, smoking the occasional cigarette, and we started to talk about Vietnam. I grew up, my generation were the young men that were sent over to fight the war, and we had very different views about the whole situation, and that led to further conversation. We went back to L.A., and I said, let's have lunch, and we had a seven-hour lunch, and True basically told me his story. I said, let's do a one-man show.
Well, so was that your idea to do? How did this play
I said, let's
out?
Do a one-man show.
True, and what did you say when he said that?
Okay.
I mean, okay sounds pretty easy, but what you just did is just one part of an entire one-man show that relives some horrific events in your life. Was it that easy to say, I want to write this out and actually perform this night after night?
Well, it started with Bob was just sending me topics, you know, prompts and feelings to write and meditate about. So I just started writing like Foley and with a lot of emotion. And I would just send those pages to Bob, and he was shaping and send it back to me. And we kept writing that way. So we amassed like hundreds and hundreds of pages. And then Bob and I got together, and we started working on the dramatic structure of the piece. And we started writing together, and we found out that we started writing in one voice, which is like my voice and my sound.
You didn't have to be a playwright. In fact, if anyone had seen you in your teenage years, it's the last thing they would have guessed about you. You were involved in gangs in Boston, is that right?
Yes.
And not Asian gangs, right?
Italian gangs.
You got involved in an Italian gang. Well, tell us about that, and again, how all of that came about.
Well, the inner city of Boston was completely different than the prairies of Saskatchewan. It was fine. I finally found we were the only Asian family in Canada. So when I got to Boston, it was that melting pot. I saw people from all different races, and I just felt that, you know, we should all be together as one. But at school, everybody sat at the different tables. Asians sat at the Asian tables. And I just wanted to blend in. I wanted to melt. So you know, I just wanted to be my own man. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of resentment towards that, because you know, Certain group wants to stick to their own kind, yeah. And I just wanted to be a part of the new world.
What did your mother say about all that? How much of your activity did she know about that you had gotten involved in gangs and that it wasn't an Asian gang? Yeah,
my mom worked like 16 hours a day. I think she spent most of her time trying to play mother and father and putting food on our table.
Robert Egan, when you collaborate on a story like this, I mean, it's one thing to work with other writers on a play, but this is a play about one man's life, and you're sort of collaborating. What role do you play in shaping that? It's not your story, it's his, and yet this is going to be a theatrical production. Is that different for you? You say you do writing workshops. Is it different in this case when you're talking about sort of one man's life story versus a play you might concoct about something else?
Every playwright, even if it's a fictional event, it's their story. Mm. They've imagined it. In this case, there are true events, so it's how do you meld and compress and structure the true events so there's a live, compelling, surprising theatrical event. I do a lot of these, and they're all out touring somewhere in the country right now. So I really love it. And a story like True's, which is essentially a story about immigration, immigrants that come to the country, and the challenges they have, it really humanizes something that we tend to demonize. So it's a great privilege to participate in telling these kinds of stories.
It really is in a lot of ways. It's about a lot of things, but immigration is certainly something you'll meditate on after you see this. If you think about globally what's happening, I mean, we just now reports of another a truck found with 50 bodies of immigrants in Vienna and on in the Mediterranean. As you sort of look at what's happening globally, I mean, that was a very particular moment in history, in the post-Vietnam era, but things have exploded since then. How do you see your play, your story, fitting into that larger narrative, or does it?
Yeah, I think my story is about, overcoming obstacles and about displaced people all over the world. I think it's, everybody's is trying to find that place where they can find a new life.
Were there surprises for you along the way as you wrote your own story?
I got to understand my father more.
What do you understand? What's changed for you?
That I can sort of view him more as a human than what I viewed him based on my resentment and anger.
Less of a monster.
Has you've played it? You've played some roles in television and on the stage, as well as in films. Does this change you as an actor, or are you different as an actor when you're playing the story of your life versus someone else's?
I believe I'm a stronger actor now doing this piece just for my collaboration with Robert. I mean, he's a phenomenal director, phenomenal human being and artist. So, our journey with the show, shaping it and him directing me on stage is absolutely, I mean, I owe a lot to this man.
Do you feel like you'd like to do more writing?
Yes. Rob and I are talking about doing another piece solely on Uncle Ho Chi Minh.
What are you hoping that the audience gets out of this play?
Love, to understand that, we're all one. We all come from the ocean. Then there's hope and redemption and a place for forgiveness and understanding.
Robert, for you as kind of the outside collaborator in all of this, those themes inevitably will come through, or themes, not those themes in particular, but themes inevitably come through any work of art. When you hear a story like that, do you begin to feel and see and hear those themes right away, or, kind of when do they emerge for you as the collaborator in all of this?
It's at the risk of being reductive. I find a lot of American writers write from an emotional, instinctive place. And I was educated in England. English writers tend to write from idea.
Mm.
And I think the story was powerful. But, yeah, there were ideas that were always guiding us as we were constructing the play.
As you sent those prompts to True, were those ideas sort of behind the prompt?
I think the first set of prompts were just, let's try to find the significant chapters of your story chronologically. And then the play is structured in a very different way. It doesn't follow, a sequential chronology. But the power to me was we live in obviously very polarized times, pathetically polarized. And True's story is really a call for connectivity and oneness. And that people that are facing, whether it's True's story or, you know, millions of other stories that are out there on the American landscape, unless we're together as a community and not polarizing and demonizing each other, it's much more of a struggle for people to move forward in life.
Robert Egan and True Tran, thank you both very much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
True Tran stars in the one-man play called Uncle Ho to Uncle Sam about his life as a refugee from Vietnam, co-written by Robert Egan. The play is at the Elizabeth Price Keenan Theater at Chapel Hill, runs through Sunday, and you can find out all the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. Andrew Tai is our intern. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.